In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At the end of this morning's epistle, we have these beautiful, memorable words. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived, what God has prepared for those who love Him. Now, these are often taken as referring to the afterlife. I don't know if you've ever heard someone use them to describe the afterlife, which is beyond imagination. However, that's not Paul's meaning here. That's not what he's referring to. He is paraphrasing a prophecy in Isaiah. Isaiah speaking about what was for him the future, the coming of Christ. That the coming of Christ and the salvation that he would bring in the gospel, that is what no eye had yet seen, what no ear had heard, and what the heart of man had not conceived. What God had prepared from the beginning of the world for those who love him. This is the wisdom, the secret and hidden wisdom that Paul refers to earlier in this passage. The secret and hidden wisdom that is proclaimed to the mature. Now, if it is revealed, then why is it still secret? Why is it still a mystery? Well, it is revealed in that it has happened, it has taken place, but the meaning of it is a mystery. Christ has come openly before all. He was crucified before all. He rose again, and many people witnessed it, and the word was spread throughout the world. And yet, the meaning of this mystery is kept hidden, except for those who, in humility, seek out the meaning from God. The understanding is given by the Holy Spirit to those who are open, to those who in humility are receptive. What is that hidden meaning of Christ's passion and resurrection revealed to those who by the Holy Spirit have understanding, those who are mature in Christ? St. Paul says that this mystery, hidden for long ages and now revealed, is for our glorification, for our glory, in order to make us glorious. And it refers to the Lord of glory. The Lord of glory, whom he says, the rulers of this age have crucified in their ignorance of the mystery. The Lord of glory, of course, is Christ himself. The Lord of glory who was crucified. You know, we take for granted that the Lord is glorious. But think about it from the perspective of someone who is not a believer, who does not have the revelation of this mystery, this great mystery. They see before them a man who was rejected and despised by the great people of his age, who was tormented and crucified after being accused of and condemned of a great crime. What is glorious in that? From the point of this world, it is not glorious. And yet, the mystery, the great secret that God has revealed to those who are receptive is that therein lies true glory, true glory that each of us can participate in, partake in, and reflect in our own lives. True glory that the saints of all the ages have also reflected in their lives. We read in the Gospels that Christ, when he was crucified, that over him was put a mocking inscription, a sign that said in three different languages, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." In Aramaic, Greek, and Latin. And often in depictions of the cross, specifically depictions of the cross outside of the Orthodox tradition, you see three letters, an abbreviation representing that inscription, usually I-N-R-I in Latin, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. But in Orthodox depictions of the cross, that sign, if you look closely, has a different inscription. It doesn't say the mocking words that Pilate had posted, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. But instead you see what looks like in English an I, an X, a B, and a triangle, which is a delta. So it's Yota Chi Vita Delta, which stands in Greek for Jesus Christos Vasilevs Doxis. Jesus Christ, the King of Glory. Jesus Christ, the King of Glory. Because again, though Pilate mocked, to us is revealed in that moment the glory of Christ. It's why in the Gospel of John, Jesus calls the coming crucifixion his glorification. And John says that the Holy Spirit was not to be given until after Christ had been glorified through his cross. So what is so glorious about the cross? What's glorious about the cross is that it is, for Christ, a demonstration of perfect love for God and for man. He shows us a kind of selflessness that we have seen in no one else. A man who is willing to give up everything, literally everything, for the sake of others. And not only to give up everything for the sake of others, but to give it up to those who are the ones who are doing these things to him. Someone who is willing to remain present, to teach, to heal, to save amidst those who are hurting him. That's his love towards us, his perfect love towards us. His perfect love towards God is, of course, his perfect obedience, being willing to show this love and to endure these things because it is God's loving will for mankind. So the cross is an example of glorious love. The cross reveals to us what true nobility is. True nobility, true glory, the only thing that a person should boast about is subduing one's pride in order to love others. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us not give in to the glory that the spirit of this age summons all of us to. You know, the glory that we see on television, the glory that we read about in newspapers of great men and women who accomplish great things and are respected by others and whatever. let us instead stay focused on the Lord of glory, the King of glory, who teaches us how to be truly noble and great human beings by setting aside ourselves in order to love God and others. To whom be glory, honor, and worship, together with his Father and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.